Thank you for joining us at Fellowship Church. For additional information, check us out at fconline.tv.
My name is Wilson. I am your presenter today, and I'll be happy to share and honored to share what God's Word has to say. So, we just experienced Christmas, and Christmas is one of my favorite holidays, mainly because when I was growing up, like, my family doesn't celebrate Christmas, and I would, like, put everything up to myself, put the lights up, put the tree up, make my mom buy a gift, and I had wrapped it myself and gift myself. And so on Christmas Eve, I opened it, I was like, yeah, I got it, even though I know what it is. So to me, Christmas is one of the best holiday, and that's where my wife made it extra special for me. And then later I learned about that Christmas, the actual meaning of Christmas is Jesus, that he was born. So aside being like Jesus being important, what would be your favorite part of Christmas? So I want you guys just raise your hand. Is Christmas, aside being Jesus, by the way, is community? Is it like community, family gathering? Is that important? Yeah. Is it about the food? Yeah. Is it about the free gift? That would be me. Like, free gift is the best thing. Not knowing what's inside is the best thing because I don't have to wrap my own gift now. So we're going to talk about the free gift portion of it. When you receive a free gift, like when your parents give you a gift, when someone gave you a gift, it's free. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to, like, say, there's a contract. Like, if you do this, I'll give you this gift. During Christmas, all you have to do is extend your arm and receive it. So that's the best part, aside Jesus. So that's my favorite part of free gift, of Christmas, is the free gift. And keep that idea at the back of the mind, because we'll be talking about that in a little bit. So now we are in this series called Jesus, and a look at Mark's Gospel. We're finally coming back to a regular series. We had Glow, and we have Christmas service. We took a break from it. So let's recap a little bit in the end of Mark 3. At the end of Mark 3, Jesus was preaching, and a lot of people would gather around him, so much so that his mom, his brother, was trying to get a hold of him, but can't because of the crowd. So they played the telephone game and said, hey, I'm here. And the message got to Jesus, and Jesus said, hey, the crowd said, hey, your mom, your brothers, and your sister are here. And Jesus said, who is my brother? Who is my mother? Who is my sister? But you guys are my mother, my brother, and my sister. And so the idea is that we are all brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers to each other. We are all in one family under God. And so now, moving on to Mark 4, Mark continued the idea of this teaching that we are all brothers and sisters. So let's take a look at Mark 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. A very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. So this is what my imagery that comes to my mind right now is that I'm not saying I'm Jesus. I'm by far, far from being Jesus. But for kids, I want you guys to imagine, like, you guys are sitting on the beach, and you have Jesus standing in the boat with his disciple behind him preaching, and there's lots of people just sharing the word of God. They're in the Sea of Galilee, in the area where Jesus is from, where he does a lot of ministry. And people just gathered. There's so many people that Jesus had to be on the boat to share what is in his heart. Verse 2, it says, "And he was teaching them in many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them," I'm going to pause right there. Parables, he loved to teach in parables. So what is parables? Parables are short stories that has everyday objects with spiritual application or spiritual teaching. Meaning, he is using what the people know at that time, like farming, like kings and queens, to teach a lesson. That's something that we're not used to unless you are a farmer, unless you are royalty or understand what Jesus, like, that's what you do every day. Then you can understand that. But a parable is everything, everyday objects that we know about and teaching them with a spiritual application. So for us today, like watching a movie, playing video games, watching sports, we will use those everyday everything objects that we know of to show in a short story to teach with a spiritual application. So verse 3, he says, the first thing he says, listen. This is like he's literally just commanding in a loud voice, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. A sower is a farmer. And what, back in the day, they have a big bag next to them as a farmer to sow seed. They will grab and will walk across the field and just toss seed everywhere. And so Jesus is giving us an imagery now. He is a farmer, have this bag with seed, and he just walk across the field and throwing seed everywhere. They don't have a machine to help them do it, so they have to do it by hand. And he's setting us up for the parable. Verse 4. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the bird came and devoured it. So how I see this is, as he's tossing the seed out, some fell on the pavement, where there is no soil to get roots into it, or even get into the soil. And the bird just come and eat it, free food for them. Next verse. And the other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprung up since they had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since they had no root, it withered away. So when the seed fell on rocky grounds, with the rock just blocking from the root getting nutrients that it needs, it only grew very shallow. The roots were just shallow on the shallow part of the soil and grew little, not enough water or nutrients. So when sun comes up, it just scorch it and wither away. Next verse. The other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yields no grain. So thorns, when it grow with the grain, it wraps around it and suck up all the nutrients of what the grain need. And so it's kind of getting choked out by taking all the nutrients. Next verse. And the other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100 fold. So that's the parable that Jesus shared with everyone on the boat. And to us, it's kind of hard to understand. Like for me, it's hard to understand about farming because, you know, I'm not a farmer, but I dress like I am sometimes. But so it's hard to understand. In the same idea, like the disciples, later on the disciple asked Jesus, what does that mean? What does that parable mean? Can you explain it to us? And so Jesus explained it in verse 14 to his disciple. He said, the sower sowed the word. So what he's saying is the farmer is the one, here's the spiritual application. The farmer is the one that is sharing the word of God. So this means that as we are a believer of Jesus, or we have Jesus in our heart, we share the word of God to everyone. Jesus said, like God saw the word, believer, we are to share the word with everyone as well. Just a little caveat on this as well is, with this parable, what's nice is I don't have to do much teaching because Jesus is going to explain everything. So this is kind of easy for me this week. Just to let you guys know. Okay, so the farmer sows the seed, sowed the word. What is the word? The word is the gospel, the good news. So let's explain what the word is before we get into it. So the word, the gospel, is saying that we are all sinners. When we sin, sin is something that is disobedience from God, something that God doesn't like. Because of that, there is a separation in relationship with God. When there is a separation from God in that relationship, is sin. And because we have sinned, God loves us so much that he's willing to send his son. He gave up his son so that he will come and take his sin unto himself, so that there is this reconnection of this relationship with God. But that's not the only thing. When he died on the cross, he did not just stay dead. He rose again, and now he is in heaven. And that is half of the gospel. So what the farmer is sharing this gospel, this idea that, not idea, that the fact that Jesus died and he rose again. But the second half of that is asking the person, are you willing to believe in Jesus? If you are, the only thing you have to do, you don't have to do anything. The only thing you have to do is ask God to forgive your soul for all this, like forgive your sin for all the things that you have done wrong, and ask him and invite him into the heart. That's all you have to do. We do not have to do anything. So it's like the idea of free gift is that it is free. It's a free gift. All you have to do is just extend it. You don't have to earn it. So that's what the gospel is. And the farmer sowed the word. So let's take a look at verse 15. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. So now, as the farmer is sharing the word of God to everyone, some fell on the seed. So what that looks like is that a person heard the word of God, and they heard it, but they didn't receive it in their heart because Satan quickly comes and takes that away. Next. And these are the ones that sown on rocky road, rocky ground. The one who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no roots in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So these folks are the ones that receive this free gift of the gospel. They receive it with, they understand it, and they receive in their heart. But then when somebody say, why do you believe? Why do you go to church? Why do you trust the organized church, religion? Aren't they doing all these bad things? But science says this about these facts, and it's against religion's view, kind of causing trouble in your belief. And those people, even though they receive in the heart, they don't have a greater understanding. They just gave up their faith because of it. Next. The others are the ones sown among thorns. There are those who hear the word But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So these folks are the ones that receive the word into their heart. But then they worry about things in life. They worry about, like, do I have enough money? Or do I need to have a better car? I want a big tree for my house. I want to have a bigger building for my house. Like, things that take priority away from God, where they worry about those things. So, like, for me, I'm a worrier, which is not a good thing. Yesterday, my little kid walked in the door with my wife, and then she slammed the door close behind my wife and ran out to the street. Oh, man, my heart was pounding. I was washing dishes, and I was surprised I didn't break any dishes to chase after her. But if that's the worry that we all have, and that's the worry that sometimes can take priority over the Word of God. And so that's what this is saying. It can, if you take that priority over God, it can choke your walk with God. Next. But those who were sown on good soil are the one who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So on the good soil, they receive it in their heart. They endure the tribulation and trial, and they trust God and put Him priority. And then they go and tell other people. They let them, let other people teach them in what they know about God. Because of that, they bear fruits. And so, like I said, this parable as a farming is really is for the days of the past, or for farmers who really understand that concept. So I want to share a different analogy that's similar to it that kind of makes sense to our modern day. And so, Kim, where are you? There you are. So over here we have some chocolate coins. And each of the children under the age of 18 can have one. Not right now. Unless you're a big kid, then you may have one too. So what this coin is, it represents, I'm going to give each of the children a free gift. Right here, chocolate coin. A free gift. This is a free gift. In order to receive a free gift, you have to extend your hand to receive it. If you don't extend your hand, then you're not willing to accept this free gift. And so I'm going to use this analogy, this coin, to explain the parable we just heard. And hopefully that makes sense to the children. So there are two types of people, believers and non-believers, those who accepted Jesus and those who doesn't. There are three types of Christians, and I'll explain that in a little bit. So the first type of people are unbelievers. So I will say, hey, Kim, I'm going to give you this free coin. All you have to do is extend your arm, your hand, and receive it. So she receives it, and then somebody come and steal her coin. Then she doesn't have this free coin anymore. And that's what the unbeliever had happened. They don't believe because someone stole it, in a way. I'll explain that a little bit more later. The second type is Christians, and there's three kinds. So I would say, okay, Kim, I'm going to give you this free coin. All you have to do is extend your hand to receive it. So she received it with joy in her heart, and then somebody whispered to her, it's like, Kim, why do you have this free coin? Why do you have chocolate? Don't you know chocolate make you have a lot of acne and diabetes and might even make your butt look fat? And because she heard that, she's like, oh, man, I don't want any of those things. I'm going to throw this away. She gave up this free coin. Now, a second type of Christian is this. Kim, I have this coin for you. It's a free coin. All you have to do is extend your hand and receive it. And so she did. She received it in her heart. And then she knows it's chocolate, but she doesn't know whether it tastes good or not. But she knows like Hershey's, Godiva, even M&M's taste really good. So she started researching, like purchasing those chocolate. And then soon she forget about this free one. And she doesn't know whether it tastes good or not, but she's put priority in doing all the other research and not willing just to accept this one. And so she had no trust in this coin, in this chocolate. So, the last one. I say, Kim, I give you this free coin. All you have to do is extend your hand and receive it. And so she did. And then she received it in her heart, and she's like, wow, I got a free coin. I got to tell other people about it. I got to tell other people how Wilson gave me a free chocolate coin. And so she started telling her friends, her family, and said, and hopefully she tells them, come to church, because you might get free stuff. And so now she's sharing with everyone about this free gift that she gets. So you may pass that out to the kiddos. And if you are a big kid, you may also have one as well, Adam. So I hope this story is kind of makes sense for the kiddos. So I want to address those who does not know Jesus. Jesus has given us a free gift, this awesome free gift that's better than the chocolate coin. This free gift is so big. All you have to do is open your heart and receive this gift. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything special. You don't have to say magic words and whatnot. All you have to do when you pray to God, just say, God, forgive my sin. Come to my heart. I need you. I believe that you are the Savior. And so at the end of the service, I will pray that. So if you don't believe, pray with me on this. So, now to the Christians, those who believe in Jesus. There are Christians right now, there are some of you right now are on the verge of just giving up your faith, giving up your free gift that you receive because life is hard and you got beaten down time after time after time, and you are just, you're just done with it. But I just want to say, don't do it. Don't give up this free gift because God gave everything up just for you. And I would suggest, go and find somebody, talk to somebody. God wants us to be in a community. We are stronger as a community with people walking hand to hand. Find a mentor, find a pastor, find an elder, find a leader in this church or somewhere in other area of within the church and let them help you out. This gift is so amazing. I don't want you to give it up. I want you to be in a community and talk with people. Help, let them walk you through. Let them pray with you. Let them share with you and guide you through. So, there are people out there that worries a lot. As I shared earlier, I'm one of those people that worries. I worry about my kid every day. When she was first born, there's this thing called SID. And oh man, it scares me. It scares my wife. And I just want to do everything I can, make sure my little girl is okay. But sometimes I can take that so far that I forget to pray to God about it. Sometimes we are in that moment as well, that we worry so much, we forget to trust God, that we forget to let God handle the situations. So I will say, if you are a worrier, not warrior, but worrier, talk to God. Pray to God. Talk to somebody to help you guide through this time where you have, if you have a lot of worry in your life, let it be in a community to walk you through. So the last one, if you are a Christian and you are producing fruit, that means you have been enduring the tribulation, the persecution, and you put a lot of trust in God, even though you have a lot of things going wrong, and you have a lot of concerns, but you put priority in God. Because of this, you're sharing with other people how to become a witness to people. Something that I have learned and I'm practicing is, because God has given me so much, He has led me so far, I want to tell other people about it. I'm teaching other people how to experience God themselves. I'm sharing the word with other people so they can come to know God. So if you are in that season of life, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with other people. Tell other people that this is what God is doing. This is how God had led me through. So I want to share with other people. And so, which of the four are you? If you're not a believer, ask God. Ask God into your heart. If you are a believer, I want you to evaluate this year where you are at. And for next year, to be the good soil, to grow in Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that we have this amazing opportunity to hear your word. Lord, you have shared this parable with us, and you have explained the spiritual significance of it. And Lord, I pray that each one of us have a heart open to receive your word, to receive the teaching, the understanding, not just our mind, but also our heart, that we may live this next year in a new hope, in a new way that is much better than 2017. As today is the closing chapter of 2017, let us remember what you have done in our life so that we can step forward in 2018 in worshiping you. And Lord God, I pray for those who does not know you today, and they are just in their heart, just getting a tug, just having just, oh man, something's not right. I need to do something. I want you guys to think about this and pray with me in this and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin that I have done. I know you have taken my sin unto you and die on the cross for it. And Lord, I want to invite you into my heart. I want you to be the center of my life and my heart. Help me to walk, just believe that you are my Savior. And Lord, I pray for Christians. Wherever we are at, Lord, there are some just on the verge of giving up the faith. I pray that your Spirit will lead someone into their life so that they can experience you, can experience this joy that you give, even though they are in a bad situation. And Lord, I pray for those who worries a lot and have a lot of concern. the Bible says to praise you and ask and pray in supplication. Put you first. Let this next year be the year that we put God first in everything that we do. And Lord, I pray for those who are just doing everything great. And I pray that they will continue to do so by sharing the word with others, by mentoring somebody, by teaching others, and share what God has given them so that others can experience God themselves. Lord, you are amazing. And we want to say thank you, Jesus, that you have died on the cross and gave us a new life, and you have given us the gospel, the seed. Let us go and share with other people. Lord, you are amazing, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Fellowship Church. Please consider supporting our mission by visiting us at fconline.tv/give.